So here's just a thought to begin with. Every single moment of every single day, I'm tempted to live out a purpose in my life which is not the purpose that God has for me. Every single moment of every single day, I'm tempted to make this life about me and what I want and what my plan is and what I think is going to make me happy and that kind of a thing, right? So I'm a pretty bad dude. Amen? Amen? I've always considered myself to be the most selfish person that I know. I've told you guys, pretty much every time there's pizza, I'm thinking, am I going to get enough? Can I have the last piece? Can I have the biggest piece? It's just about me all the time. That's kind of the alternate purpose in life that we have that's not the right one that comes naturally to us, that we think about ourselves and we think about feeding our flesh and we think about glorifying ourselves and lifting ourselves up. And if you look at the world around us, that's really what so many things are about. So many things are about lifting up a person and celebrating a person. Well, really what we're going to talk about today is the fact that that's really not the purpose that God has for us in this life. The purpose that God has for us is to not lift ourselves up, but to lift Him up. To exalt Him. To glorify Him. To celebrate Him. There's really nothing else that we need to really be worried about doing besides that. That's what it's really all about. And you see, when our mind is focused on ourselves, then we get really worried about a lot of things. We get really confused by a lot of things. We get very disoriented. But if you would leave here today knowing that you have a very simple purpose and you could really think about this purpose and really go out and try to live this purpose, it will help free you up in tons of ways. Amen? Now you could pay thousands of dollars to go speak, to go hear a speaker talk to you and give you the latest psychology about different things, about stuff that's not good. When you have the Word of God right here that'll give you this counsel, and I hope that you've come today for free. Did anybody buy a ticket to come in here today? So let's just pray that God just really, really, really uses His Word in a powerful way in our life today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for what the Apostle Paul wrote here. We thank You for the way that Your Word is always relevant and speaks into our lives in a way like nothing else. We thank You for the surgery that Your Word can do to our hearts, Lord. And we pray today that You would do that and that You would move us out of the way, Lord, and that Your Holy Spirit would come on us in a mighty way and convict us and show us how we need to really live this life for You and not for ourselves. We thank You so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin by just picking up where we left off. And it's kind of interesting the way they break the verses here. So I'm going to actually go back and read all of 18, but we're really on the second part of 18. Paul says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." So if you'll remember what he was talking about, how there were people that while he was in prison, they were preaching about Christ, but they were doing it with a motive which was not to actually really share the gospel with people, but they were trying to stir up trouble for Paul while he was in prison. It's almost something that we can't really even fathom or imagine, but they were really preaching Christ with the wrong motives. And he said, being in prison, everything is okay. It was for the advance of the gospel. He was able to share Christ with people that he never could if he hadn't been in prison. And he said, even though that these people are standing against him in this way, he says it's okay so long as Christ is being preached, and that's all that matters. And I talked about applying this to this idea that I don't like every teacher the way they teach about Christ, the conclusions they have and what they say. And I think sometimes people get saved in churches like that, that really aren't the best churches, that aren't teaching the Word of God and handling it in the correct way, but people get saved there and Christ is proclaimed, and I'm thankful for that. And I see that. That happens again and again. And so that's how I think about this. But this is where we were. And he says, and in that I rejoice in Christ being proclaimed. And then he says, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. He's still speaking about the fact that he's imprisoned in Rome. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. And that's the passage. And let's look at this a little bit more closely than now. Okay, so he says, yes, I will rejoice. And what is he going to rejoice in? He says, for I know that through your prayers in the church in Philippi, they're earnestly praying for him, and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. He recognizes their prayers and he recognizes the Holy Spirit, and he's looking at his situation and he says, I know that I'm going to be delivered from this. I'm going to be rescued from this. I'm going to be saved from this. He says, as is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. So what he's saying here is it reminds me a little bit of a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going in the fiery furnace. What he's saying here is, I know without a doubt that God is going to deliver me from this. But what he doesn't say is, I know that God is going to deliver me from this by having me found innocent and the charges cleared and that I'm let go. Because you see, where Paul is right now, he's facing two possibilities, and that's what he's really looking at here. One is that he's cleared, and the other is that he's facing a possible death sentence. So that's where Paul is. You know, he had been again and again accused and accused of all these different things by the people that stood against him, that tried to stop him from spreading the gospel, by the what would be called they say the Jews, but it's like he's Jewish himself, keeping that in mind. All right, so he's accused of this. So he had to appeal to Caesar. He made this appeal, and it's a very risky move, and basically his life is very much on the line here in this. So there are these two possibilities. One is that he's cleared, and the other that is death. So that's really what he's talking about here as he's looking at this. And what he's saying is, he knows that in either case, in either way, whether it's in life and he's cleared, or whether it's in death, that God will deliver him through it. That's why I said it reminded me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, as they go into the fiery furnace. They were saying that they were confident that God would deliver them from that, whether it be in life or death, that God would do that. And that's the kind of confidence that we need to have in God. And so he's here and he says, this is his expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed. He doesn't want to be ashamed of the position that he's in, and he definitely never, ever wants to be ashamed of Christ. And I hope that that's our attitude too. He says, but that with full courage, or if you have the NIV, I like the word the NIV, sufficient courage, as full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. You see, it goes like this. He's got these two possibilities, And he says, no matter what, whichever way it goes, I know my circumstance won't last forever. So I'm in this difficult circumstance. It won't last forever. It's going to come to a change. It's going to come to an end. And I see two possibilities. But my prayer is not, God, that you go one way or the other. My prayer is, God, that you will give me sufficient courage to live out this circumstance through you, and that I will exalt Jesus Christ in it and glorify him. And that was Paul. That's what he was saying. That's his example. It's whether by life or death, A or B, either one, that I exalt Jesus Christ with everything that I have. That's what he's saying. And now, he goes on, and he says this, in this powerful verse. He says, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I put this up here all by itself because this is just a very powerful and important thing as we think about it. He says, for me, if I'm going to live, I'm going to sum it up in one word, and that's Christ. And would you like me to sum it up in two words for you? If I'm going to live, it's Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, if I'm going to live, that's what life is really all about. That's all there is. It's about exalting and glorifying Jesus Christ, lifting up His name, sharing Him with other people. That's my purpose. That's what I'm going to live. That's what it's really all about. That's what he's saying, is when he's considering these two options. Now he says another one here that's really important. He says, to die is gain. To die is gain. You know, we think about death, and we're naturally pretty afraid of it. But the whole message of the Bible is that if you are in Christ, if you've heard the good news about Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross, and you recognize that your sin and your need of a Savior, and you have faith in Him and you receive Him, that He promises that you are born again, and He comes and He supernaturally indwells you, His Holy Spirit, and you're born again, you're made a new creation in Christ. When this happens, he says, you know what? You don't have to be afraid of death anymore. Death is gain. Now, I'll tell you with all my heart, as I read the Bible and I study the Bible doesn't teach that death is gain for everyone. The Bible teaches that death is gain for those who are in Christ. Paul is in Christ. He knows he's in Christ. He's saying this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And this verse is true for you today if you are in Christ. Again, if you are familiar with the gospel, with the good news, and you have responded to it and you have received it in faith, that you believe in Jesus, you believe that He suffered and died on that cross for you and your sins, and you need a Savior. And so if that's you and you've been born again, death is gain. Death is better. It's better. You know, we don't just say, oh, you know, well, they're in a better place. That does not even begin to sum it up. One of the things Paul says, he says this. He says, if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which shall I choose? I cannot tell. So it's like he's got these two possibilities in life. Now, if you just read this and you don't really think about the fact that he's writing this from prison and he's facing this death penalty, you think, oh, Paul's just getting old. He's starting to think about whether he wants to die or he really has the energy to continue to go on and living. I don't think that's at all what's being said. He's really facing these two real possible outcomes in his life. And when he says, you know, which shall I choose? It's like he's saying, let me contemplate. Let me contemplate on the two paths that my life may go. Let me contemplate on that. Let me think about that. Which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. If I really sit down and think about it, what's better? My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. Why is death gain if you're in Christ? Because you're going to go and you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And that is far better than anything that you could possibly come up with here. That's the message of the Bible. That's the good news. But you see that. That's what he's saying. He knows. He knows without a shadow of a doubt. When he leaves this earth, he's going to go be with Jesus. And you can know that too. Because you can put your hope and faith and trust in what the Bible says. What's that old song? Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know that? For the Bible tells me so. How do you know that your sins can be forgiven? For the Bible tells me so. How do you know that Christ died on the cross for you? For the Bible tells you so. All right, so it's that. So he's thinking about it and he says, you know what? Hey, I can have courage because if I die, I'm just going to go be with Jesus and they're doing me a favor. Amen? He says, and by the way, it's far better. He says, far better. That's a far better outcome. And that's the one he expects someday to have, but that's one possibility. He says, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So he starts thinking about being alive and he starts thinking about the other people and he's saying that I see that one of the reasons why I'm alive and why God has given me the time He's given me is that He has work for me to do in the lives of other people. Amen? That's what Paul's saying. He's saying that it's very necessary for your account that I remain in the flesh. Remaining in the flesh would be remaining in this body, alive here, in that way, in, as he's speaking about it. He says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Very simply, he says, you know what? I'm pretty sure that I'm going to keep on living. And I'm pretty sure the way that God's going to deliver me is not in death, but is in life, because I still see so much work that God has for me to do. That was Paul's attitude. That's what he's saying. Now, I don't think he's saying it has to be this way or this is it. I think what he's saying, I consider the two possibilities. I'm praying for courage that no matter what happens, I exalt Jesus Christ. I see death as a good thing. But I think that God has more work for me to do, and I could look at it and I could see what are some of the work that Paul said he had to do. He says, know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. He's thinking about the Philippians here. He's thinking about probably other churches and people that he's worked with, about them growing and maturing in the faith and them having the kind of joy in Christ that is independent of your circumstance that you can see here in Paul. And he wants them to have that. And that is what comes from the faith. And he wants them to grow it. And he sees that purpose for himself. And then I like this. He says, so that you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you. If I am freed and released from my imprisonment and I come and I see you again, I know that that will be reason for you to glory in Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? He's not just saying, oh, it'd be so good to see you. He's saying that if you see me alive again, you will know that you can praise Jesus Christ and give Him glory. And you see, Paul wants to glorify Christ with his life, but he wants other people to do that too, and he wants to see that happening. And that's what he is excited about and looking forward to, and he sees that. And so, again, if I had to recap this just kind of in my own words there, as we look at it, Paul is facing really one of two possibilities. Either being cleared and to be allowed to live, or he's facing death. And he's thinking and he's considering those two possibilities. And he's realized that what he really needs, the prayer that he really needs, he says, pray for me, here's how you pray for me. Just pray for me that I have courage either way. Either way. And he says, you know what? Because for me, if I'm going to live, it's going to be all about Jesus. If I'm going to die, I realize I'm going to be with Jesus. It's going to be all about Him there too. And it's going to be gain. And he says, yeah, but I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty convinced. I'm convinced here that I'm going to live because God has more for me to do. Now, I think of it, a couple of things just personally like this. Think about it for ourselves. All this is true about you if you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ today, and you want to be in Christ, and you believe in Christ, you can be in Christ today. You can start that relationship with Him today. Just saying yes to Him. Just believing this message that's being given today. And you're adopted as His child right there, right away. It's not an exclusive club. You know, you're not dealing with a bunch of people here who have like elevated themselves and made it. This is a room full of sinners. Amen. Who need Jesus desperately. And there's not a single one of us that has our life all together. Okay? So it's a matter of saying yes to Him through faith and believing in Him. But if that's the case with you, then it's really true that death is gain. It's really true that when you depart this life, you don't go into nothingness. You don't go to sleep for a long time. You go to be with Jesus. It's really gain. Now, some people might say, well, let's get it started. Let's go right now. I'm ready to go. And if you have a thought like that, like sometimes, and sometimes people battle thoughts like this, I'd like to just drive my car right off the road because I'm so depressed about something. I'm going to tell you that that's not an option. That's not what this says here. That what it's really saying is that as long as God has you in the flesh, His purpose for you is to live your life for Jesus. And that's the real answer. That, like, for me, as I think about it, what I want for my life is I want to just keep serving Him and keep proclaiming Him and keep working for Him. No matter how things change around me, I want to be used by Him. As long as He gives me strength in this body, it belongs to Him. I'm going to use it for Him to the very end. And I want to glorify Him with my life. That is the only offering that I really have to give to God. Is to glorify Him with whatever strength and whatever life that He gives me. I want to do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do I stumble sometimes? Yes. But that's what I want, and I hope that's what you want too. And I think that's what our example we're seeing here in Paul. That's what he was all about. That's what the Holy Spirit did in his life. So the goal here is to glorify Christ. You think about it. Like, how many goals do you have in your life? Well, there's really only one that really matters. One goal and one purpose, and that's to glorify Christ. And so we do that with our lives, with how we live our lives. We glorify Him. And it's more than just saying words. But it's actually how we live. What we do, you know, what kind of decisions we make. How we share Him with other people. That is glorifying Christ. And it may mean a lot of other things. Let's say applying the Bible to our lives. I think glorifying and exalting Christ could mean praying for our enemies. Sometimes that will be forgiving somebody. Something that's hard to forgive. Is there any things that are easy to forgive? Most of the time not, I don't think. But there probably are some situations that we think are difficult. Like, okay, that one's a lot harder to forgive. But forgiving, like the Bible talks about forgiving, it would be being selfless. Doing things, not really expecting a pat on the back or something in return, just giving and sharing and doing things, giving of ourselves. When we do something like, let's say that you make a meal for these people, or you come and you help with this memorial service about somebody that you don't even really know, who are you doing it for? Well, you're doing it for our missionaries, but ultimately you're doing it for Jesus. You know, our missionaries, Wayne and Kim Platt Wayne, some of you look at him as older now or whatever, but he was just a youth kid that was here that learned about Jesus, that came from a family that didn't know God, that didn't believe in God, that didn't follow the Word, that weren't saved. He came and he got saved, you know, through a camp and through being here, and he said, I want to be a missionary. And he became a missionary. And he went and he lived that, and he did that. And he's given a lot of himself to be on the mission field, to be away from family and not with them and things. And so, as they explained to me, really, most everyone in their family doesn't really know Jesus. So, this could be a testimony to them, to see people come alongside and to care in that way. So, to live is Christ. Now, I think that when we think about that one goal, we want it to go all the way through our death. If you think about what Paul's saying here, he says, I want to exalt Christ in life or death. So even in my death, in how I die, I want Christ to be exalted. He never wants to give up. He never wants to shrink back from it. He wants to keep moving forward and keep sharing the faith and keep promoting it. And even if they kill him, he wants his death to exalt Jesus Christ. And I think that should be the same for us. We think about it. We want our whole lives to exalt Christ. And given the opportunity to exalt Christ in death, we want to do that. So for some, exalting Christ in death may amount to just a last moment before you die. You may be given the opportunity to exalt Christ. Like you think about the people who are threatened with a gun or a sword to have their heads removed. Those kind of things. Those last moments where somebody is trying to force you to deny Christ. And they put you down on your knees and they say, deny Christ. Or you're going to die. Taking that opportunity to, in death, exalt Jesus Christ. And you can do that if you truly believe the message of the gospel and where you're going, you know, that you're all right. Like Paul said, that's what he says, you know, it's going to be okay if I die. Now, others are given the opportunity to exalt Christ in death over a longer period of time. Maybe it's when your body is riddled with disease and you're weak. And you're taken down, you know, just physically. And in that, you have the opportunity. You have to look at that as an opportunity. That is an opportunity to exalt Jesus. The reason I get choked up is because I've seen this. I've seen a person I consider to be quite the man of God go through and have like just really, really bad cancer and just go from being this huge, bigger than life guy. They're just being wiped out to almost nothing. But to never stop exalting Jesus. That sounds so good on a microphone. I do that to lighten my mood, to get me out of this tearful state that I'm in. Okay? I've been touched by people in my life that have loved God and have gone the distance with that and exalting Him. All right, so let me just wrap it up with this here. Okay, if you're in Christ, just remember, to live is Christ. Your purpose can be summed up in one word, Christ. All day, every day. Every week, every month, every year. Not about you, it's about Him. That's life's purpose. Remember, death, to die, it's gain. It means being with Jesus. Being with Jesus. And remember that death is the start of something far better. We look at death as the end. Oh, that's it. No, death's the beginning. Your time here on this earth, even if you live 120 years, is going to be really short compared to eternity. If you are in Christ, remember this, life means fruitful labor until He takes you home. Fruitful labor, I think that He's referring to, like He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the producing of the labor, but it's the spiritual work that He does. That the work that He's going to do, God is going to make it fruitful spiritually. And I think that this is really true for us too, that as long as God has us in these bodies, that He and we're in Christ, He has spiritual work for us to do. He has things, we have a purpose. We have some exalting of Jesus to do, but we do that in all kinds of different ways. But He has things for us to do. We don't get to decide when that's over, he decides and he has a purpose for us. And then I think that a big takeaway from this for all of us should be that no matter what the circumstance that we're in, let's just pray that God gives us the courage to exalt Christ in that circumstance. Not to God, let us escape from that circumstance, let us get out of that circumstance, but let us have the courage to exalt Jesus in our circumstance. And then just remembering that your whole life, exalt Christ in your life. And then remember, just be planning for this, exalt Christ in your death. That goal of exalting Him continues all the way to the very end. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank You again for today. I want to thank You for Your love in our lives. Thank You that You loved us so much You sent Your Son. And I thank You that we're not alone here, but we have Your Holy Spirit guiding and directing us and helping us in all these ways. And I pray about over all these things that we talked about today, Lord God, that You would help them to really sink in and that we really would live this life fully for You. Thank You so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.